Well, I'd appreciate your prayer. Well, I'm glad that the Lord loved me.
Yes.
There's a scripture in Jeremiah that I refer to sometimes. We get encouragement by it because it says to us that the position that God holds towards us and what he thinks towards us. He said, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts of peace.
Amen.
Not of evil. To give you an expected end.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Woo. Now that's encouraging. But it's more meaningful to pick up the whole passage. The whole setting of that was is that the Lord had just told them, because of their idolatrous ways, that he was going to allow them to be carried away into captivity for 70. That's not encouraging. That was the will of God. Because they did this, he wanted a remedy for them. He was not trying to destroy them. That's what that passage is saying.
Right.
You could say by the evidence, if you was mindful of that, to say of the evidence that God was trying to do harm to them. Mm-hmm. To have them carried away into captivity. That's not what the A plan would be. Right? That's not what God did not intend to have to say, send him down to Babylon. But their choices in life had made it to the point that God's love had extended to them to say, I'm going to rescue you.
Amen.
I've tried all kind of ways. I've given my word. I've did miracles. You go through it. Look at the history he gave them.
Yes.
Look at the testimonies he gave them.
Yes.
Look at the word that come down that he gave them all of this, and yet they turned idols and did these things. And so the Lord says, I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to stop you. If you go on this way, there will be no remedy. So I'm going to stop you. That's what he's talking about up to this particular point in a passage. He's talking about sending them to captivity. And you could conclude that God is doing something that's not favorable.
Yeah.
That's when he says, but I know my thoughts towards you. And I want you to know my thoughts towards you, that this is not to destroy you.
Yeah. Wow.
But I want, instead, I'll bring you back. You're going to leave you there for a time. I'm going to leave the children in there for a time. But I'm going to bring you back better. I'm going to bring back a people that's going to be so fed up with idolatry. I'm going to bring back a people that's going to long for the God of their fathers.
Right.
I'm going to bring back somebody that's going to be, they're not going to have the luxuries of their freedoms and peace, and they're going to want them. They're going to go down there, hang their harps up, and say, hey, sing for us. How can we sing out here? I'm going to sing about the love of God. I'm going to sing about peace. I'm going to about freedom, about how mighty God is, and I'm sitting down here captive. How can I sing? Give me back my land and let me sing the way I should sing.
All right.
This was what God was trying to move in these people's lives, right?
Yes.
I want to talk today about change. It happens to all of us. Things happen in life. There's nothing more I say instrumental in a person's life that alters who they are.
Yes.
Than circumstances of life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If there was a horrendous car wreck today that affected some of our family, it'd be life-changing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Things can alter who right down to who we are. It alters life. Things can change so dramatically. I'll give you a few examples. One example that I'm thinking of was Brother Jim White up home. I know his story. I never met him until he was an older man. He was an old man. But I know him in the last years of his life, the last 30 years of his life. He was an example to me. Brother Jim, spiritually speaking, had steel in him. His consecrations were made. They were ironclad. He knew what God had taught him. And he had a character about him that was unyielding. It was firm, solid. We've all known these people. Brother Jim, how did you get there? How do you get to a place like that? By circumstances, by events, what God had worked in his life. But you have to realize all of his life. Brother Jim was a young man that grew up just about as poor as a person in the Appalachian Mountains could grow up. At one point, at the height of their wealth, he had two shirts. He had one that he wore for special occasions and one he worked and played in. Two shirts. Do you know that that altered Brother Jim's life? He'd buy a shirt when he was able. He'd buy a shirt and just hang it in his closet. Every once in a while he'd run onto a shirt and he'd just buy that shirt. He knew why he bought that shirt. He didn't always have a shirt. It altered the way he thought about things. Of course, and it would. And he grew up running the trails of the mountains, and he grew up a certain way. War come along, and he volunteered for war. He volunteered to go into the army. He volunteered because he had to volunteer to be. It was kind of a new thing at the time. He went into the 101st Airborne. He was a paratrooper. You had to volunteer for that. He volunteered for it. You know why he volunteered for it? Paid more money. Oh, he was terribly dangerous. But he was altered. He was altered. His poverty altered him. Why not get the most? And he became a paratrooper in a war. And he went to war. He went to war somewhat an innocent young man. Innocent. Didn't know all the things that he ended up knowing. He went to war. And he spent those years in the war. He saw his friends blown up. He saw people die. He hardened himself to that. He hardened himself to life. He hardened himself. It was impossible for him to come back home and erase that. I'm telling you what events do to people. He was altered by what he saw and what he had to deal with and that. Do you know that if you take especially a vulnerable person like a child, a young person, or even a woman or something like that, and you feed on them every day, you'll change them. You'll change their perspective of life. You'll change who they are inside. You can greatly wound children. Do you know that? You can cause them to be scarred for all of their life because of what they do. But the circumstances they go through, they can be scarred for life. Now, we all know that, right? We know that. And you know that it's impossible to make a man hard and put steel in him and put him out there in war and tell him that he's got to do what he's got to do. And he goes there and he does that and he hardens himself. What's he going to break down and cry on the battlefield? What's he going to be less than he should be? No, he's going to steel himself. And that's what he did.
Yes.
And he come home. And this was his testimony to me. He saw a wife that he hadn't seen in years.
Uh-huh.
He saw a child that he had never laid eyes on. He was not home when the child was born. He had never laid eyes on his child. And he said, I looked at my wife and my own child and had no human emotions at all. That's what he told me. Because he was altered by the circumstances of life. The great testimony of God is, for Brother Jim was that God started dealing with him about who he was until he saw himself for what he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then God was able to change them. The steel that it had in him was still in him. But he turned the steel towards godly things. A man that could go through something and still stand was the man that he had been. But God turned him around. In that situation.
Yeah.
Circumstances obviously change people. people.
That's right. Circumstances, yes.
I married a young girl that was 17 years old. Lighthearted. A little temperamental, but lighthearted, fun, wanted to smile, wanted to laugh, wanted to live life. She ended up with cancer and had to deal with all of the things that that meant in her life. You know, there come a time that I said, that's not who I married. It wasn't who I married. I wasn't who she married. She wasn't who I married. Because circumstances came and it wiped away the childhood thoughts. It wiped away unserious thoughts. It brought a whole different personality almost to her. By the time she ended up passing away at 99, she was not what she was and used to be. And it was right that she wasn't. It wasn't. It was a difference. God knows all of these things, and He is not. I know my thoughts towards you,
yes,
saith the Lord.
That's right. That's the word.
I know what I'm trying to do for you.
Yes.
I'm trying to put character and steel in your life. I'm trying to change you to something, to be something more. I'm trying to get you to a place that you cannot get by yourself. I'm going to create somebody that you can't create.
Yes.
And sometimes we would say, Lord, I'm not in. I'm not in for that kind of dramatic change. But God knows how to work in our lives and put a character and steel in our lives.
Yes.
You know, there was a man called Peter.
Yes.
Who could not stand in the face of the temptation that came to him, a man that could not stand, and he denied the Lord, but he didn't. Inside him, he wanted to, didn't he?
That was right.
He said he would.
Yes.
He wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
There was no steel in there. There was nothing that had been tried by fire, that had been forced on him. None of those things had built and made him yet. And he tried, but he failed, didn't he? He couldn't do it.
Yes, he failed.
But God gave Peter life.
Yes.
He gave him circumstances of life. He gave him things to alter and deal with him in life until he made a man of steel. He made a man of character. He made a man that can go through. Now, I can go through that because God has put something in me. God's done something and changed the character. I want to tell you, life can make you better, but it can make you worse too. The whole idea of it is God's going to allow us to go through something, but a lot of how it turns out is what we do with it. What am I going to do with this? If I'm going to follow the Lord in these places of this, it can make steel in me. It can give me character. It can do something. Or it can make me a withering rag. It can make me so weak and puny. I'll give you an example. I think he recovered from it, but when my first wife got sick with cancer, so did her mother. They went through the same, almost the same time period, the same thing, right through the same time. Tammy died in July, and her mother, Sandra, died in September. They got it at the same time, went through the same thing, and died about the same time. They were very religious people. Tammy's dad told me at the end of the whole deal, after losing his daughter, the first child that he had lost his daughter, 30 years old, then lost his wife of his youth. They'd been together for a long time. And he told me, he said, Marty, I lost my faith. He said, there was a time that my faith was so high. I believed that God was going to take care of him. I believed so much about this, and said, when it was all said and done, he said, I have no faith. I only heard that. It reminded me of the Psalms that says, only by seeing it. I don't want to experience it. I don't want to know it. I just want to be able to. I heard it. But you know what my experience was? I went through it too.
Yeah.
And I saw God help us.
Yeah.
Over
yeah.
and over and over again.
Yes.
And at the end of it, I saw someone that wrestled with faith. I saw Tammy wrestle with faith. I saw her come to the point that she resigned everything to the Lord and to the will of God. I believed that from the beginning, that God had witnessed that to me, that that moment would happen. It happened. I saw God work with us the whole way through, and my faith at the end of this trial was higher than it had ever been. God's God, I know my thoughts towards you. I'm going to build steel in you. I'm going to make faith in you. And that happened, and so there was two different situations that happened. I went through it, he went through it. He says at the end he has no faith in us. I got more faith than I ever had. I saw God
yes.
working through all of it.
Yes.
He says, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Now there's a psalm. I want to read just one verse of a psalm. Psalms 4 and 1. It says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Thou hast enlarged me.
Amen.
If you was today to say, I think I'll enlarge myself. Other than eating a few extra donuts over at the shop, what are you going to do to enlarge yourself? How are you going to enlarge yourself? I'm going to make myself better. I'm going to have more capacity to love those that are against me. I'm going to have more capacity of faith. I'm going to be enlarged and have more capacity to be able to have mercy and show kindness and to have the fruits of the Spirit working in my life. I'm going to have more capacity. I'm going to have an enlargement of that. How are you going to do it? You seem blank. How are you going to do it? How am I going to enlarge myself? You're not. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to enlarge yourself. But the psalmist says, thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress, God has made steel in my life. God has given me these things. And we look sometimes at the great patriarchs, right? We look at the patriarchs, and sometimes we'd even say of people like, say these things, and you may say of Paul. Paul was such a man of God. God so honored him, and he was so given to God, you would think the doors would swing open before you'd even get to him for the will of God.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen. Shipwreck, snake bites, whipping, scourgings,
yeah.
All of these things. Lord, what are you doing? I know my thoughts towards you, Paul. I'm making a man of iron. I'm making a man that'll stand in the storm. I'm making a man that I can depend on. I'm making somebody here. So there was a young man named Joseph.
Yeah.
Remember the story of Joseph?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever thought about this just like this or not. But I think, in my mind anyway, and if I'm taking too much liberty, forgive me for this, but in my mind it seems like that Joseph, because of the situation of his mother and all that you can read about in the scriptures, that Joseph and Benjamin was favored because his mother was favored. And Joseph and Benjamin had a little bit of favor. And it sounds like in the situation that Joseph's life may have been a little cushy from daddy. I mean, compared to the other ones, you could probably read that and say, that's probably true, that his life was probably a little bit more cushy and it was probably a little bit more favored, and he did get a coat of many colors, right? And the rest of them didn't say they did anyway, so we have to assume that the coat of many colors meant something, and you know, the idea of all that. And so here's the question. God obviously had a purpose for Joseph. He was honored with the dream thing, and he had a way about him. He seemed like he was, by at least history, was both good looking and smart. He was blessed. He also was soft and life was cushy, and it was not going to build the right man. That wasn't going to build what God wanted to build. So events started happening to Joseph's life. I think he was faithful in the middle of that to say, the way God leads is right. The way God leads is true. It isn't all. As Job would say, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Should I accept good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? And not evil as in wicked, but evil as in adverse of life. Should I accept the good, prosperous days and reject the bad ones? He would say, no, because God says, I know my thoughts towards you. I know what I'm trying to do with you. I'm going to build something in you. I'm going to build something in you. And so he took a man, Joseph, cushy, soft, favored, all of these things, and then started adding reverses to his life, started adding adversity to his life, started adding to him. Now the favored, cushy guy's in a well. Down in a well. That's pretty restricted motion down there, isn't it? I mean, it'd be hard to even get a good walk down there walking around. I don't know how big the well was, but what, you might take two or three steps in a circle. And what you going to do down in the well? And it only starts. That was only a beginning of a course where God could have said, he didn't say, I'm not saying that he said this, I'm saying he could have said to Joseph, Joseph, I'm going to build something in you. I'm going to make something out of you. But in order to do it, I'm going to have you. Your brothers are going to despise you. Oh, they're going to hate you. You're going to see hatred in their face. And they're going to throw you in the well. And then you're going to be, a caravan's going to come by where they're going to sell you into slavery. And they're going to take you down to Egypt where you're going to be belittled. And you're going to be humiliated. And I got a course of life for you. But Joseph, I know my thoughts towards you. I know my thoughts towards you, Joseph. They're peace. I'm trying to work an expected end.
Yes.
An expected end. God wants to have a person that comes to an expected end until where they can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, I am all in. You have convinced me. You have made me. I'm all in. And the world comes by and says, no, you can do this, you can do this. You got a thing now. I went through all of those things and it was still made in me now. And so Joseph went on a course of life, right?
Yeah.
He went through a course of life. And he was thrown in the well and he was sold in slavery. And he very well could have thought, Lord, what are you doing? What? Or the common thought is what did I do to deserve this kind of treatment from God? What? That's the way people think. I'm going to say this. That is an errant thought. Because these actions the Lord take is pure love. This is God loving His people. I'm going to save you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to build you into something. He took this cushy dreamer and took him all the way to a ruler of a kingdom. Second, with great power and all of that. And there was a course that got him there. And when he got there, he was stronger in God than he was back. He was Egyptian. God wanted to be able to put him in Egyptian and tell us, yeah, I'll put you right in the world and but I can make something out of you that you can stand it. You can be faithful right in the world. And he took him and been faithful. And it come down to prove so much. What a man of iron. What how much iron that man had in him when those brothers that had betrayed him, the brothers that had sold him, he come there and now it's reckoning day. And now I have authority and now I have power. And he fell on their neck and kissed them. He said, you meant it. You meant it for evil.
Yes.
But God didn't mean it for evil.
Yes.
God made this a way and kept a faithful people. Why? To save his people.
Yes.
He made Joseph. He put iron in him so that he could save his people. There wasn't any strife left there in him. Although that had been burnt out. There wasn't any pride or anything left there to get revenge on his brother. All that had been gone. He made something out of him. This isn't the only circumstances. How often, and God wants to make something out of us. Brother Jim used to say, God chose Saul to be king. Remember, he was first king. God chose Saul to be king, but he made David a king. You know, you remember the story of David? David was another one of these guys that God had chosen, and he seemed to love the Lord, and he put out for the Lord, and he done those things. But when it come to being a king, why didn't God just move Saul out and put David in as king? He anointed him king. No, instead he run for years. Saul chased him. He chased him around. He put him under one trial after another in that situation. And you remember all of the stuff David had done, and he went through the heartaches of all these things and all of those things. Why did God do that to David? Because I want something. David, I want something out of you. I want to make you a king. I want you to be kingly. I know my mind towards you. I know my heart towards you. I know what I want to make out of you and what I want to do with you. This scripture here, just that one phrase stuck out at me when he says, thou hast enlarged me. That has enlarged my heart.
Yes.
You have enlarged me to be able to take more in, to make more. You know, how am I going to deal with the selfishness and the things in my own life that hinders my own life? The circumstances make it happen. I still have a tender spot. I was raised, I didn't know it at the time, but we were very poor in being raised. And Mom usually kept some kind of meal for us, and we wasn't as poor as some was, but we was very poor. We had little clothes, and we didn't have much at all. We didn't get a bathroom in the house until I was 13, and we was poor. We was poor people. Just no one ever told me, so I didn't know. Most people there were. So I remember these times. I remember the moments. Still, to this day, I remember the times where something special happened in our lives. I remember my mom had a school friend. After they had grown up, she had moved away, and they got all these second-handed toys in what seemed to be this huge box. And she brought them, and we were just little, just young. And they brought this, and it was one summer. And they brought this box and put it there, and it was just completely full with all these different toys. There was cars and trucks and planes, and there was army men, and there was, I mean, you just think about it. The whole great big box was just full of that, and I still remember that today. And I think about, why do I remember that today? And it makes me want to bring that moment to some child. It makes me think about when they're hungry.
Yeah.
It makes me think about some of these things. Why? Because it altered me.
Yeah.
It changed me.
Made some changes, yes.
We look at circumstances sometimes. We fear them, don't we? I mean, honestly, we fear that I might get that call. We fear those kind of moments are life-changing. I don't mean to just touch on it, but some things are so life-changing. I thought about the camp meeting that I had to take my son. He fell. My son had a head tremor, and he slipped on the bank. And I think when he did, it caused him to grip the tremor, and he stuck his left hand into the tremor. But it did a job on his fingers anyway. So, at camp meeting, I took him up to Morgantown. They was doing some needlework on his fingers or whatever, and we heard the news then that Brother James and Sister Trisha's daughter had been in an accident, and she was killed. And we stayed in their home, and they knew her well. And I was always joking with her, and we've all knew her. We all knew her, and all that, and how life changing and altering things can be in a moment that happens in our life. And sometimes it's so hard for us to say, "Are you, Lord? You sent me down to Babylon for 70 years. Lord, you we're going to allow these things to happen in our life? I know my thoughts towards you. I know my thoughts towards you. If I don't make this in you, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to face the end of your life and not be able to. You're going to lose your faith. You're not going to have your faith in God if I don't work with you. I got something for you. Trust me. I know my thoughts that I think towards you. And then we should say, oh Lord, enlarge me. Enlarge my habitation. Sometimes, I've talked about this before, but sometimes we have these moments. If I can explain this. Sometimes we categorize things out in our minds. And I'll give you one example that pops into my mind. There's many. Somebody mentioned one time to me about, well, people that go to Monarch, somebody goes to Monarch that's not a saint, not proper in our saintly way and those kind of things. And they was throwing off and talking about that somebody would have to go up to them and offend them. Somebody had to go up to him and say, you need to dress differently. You need to defend this. And they would really come down hard on the person that had done that. And I understand that. And I asked this person, would you want to be that person in judgment that done that? No. Well, where are we at then?
Yes.
Where are we, honestly, where are we at? Quit categorizing. That soul's in danger. Do you care? Do you care? Do you care enough to just tell it everywhere? Why are we categorizing? That person needs help too.
Yes.
There may be more help. Why are we categorizing what's bad and what's wrong? Lord, enlarge me. Enlarge me. God loves that person. You want to be able to admit God loves that person that's doing the offending too? And he doesn't want them to be offender. He wants them to get help. What are we going to do? Discourage them, run them down. What are we going to do in this whole thing? Lord, help us to be the person that's enlarged.
Yes,
I see the damage of hurting somebody. Oh, let's don't do that. I also see the insecurities that people have in their life that causes them to want to do that. And you know what they need? Jesus.
They need
help. They need steel put in them. They need help. Lord, help us not to do. I think of it quite often because I see these things and I think, you know, the old adage, what would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do?
Yes.
What would Jesus do? Along comes Nicodemus,
right?
Ruler, one of the rulers of the Jews, one of the high uppers. What Jesus goes, you all just offending people. You get out of here. Get out of here. You ain't nothing to this. Jesus loves Pharisees. Jesus loves everybody.
Uh-huh.
Jesus loved Nicodemus. And said, Nicodemus got to hear. Third chapter of John. It was Nicodemus that was there when Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was looking at Nicodemus when he said that.
Yes.
How powerful must the word been? It was altering and life-changing to Nicodemus. All the things that the Lord allows. The changes that come into our life. The heartache, the miseries, the things that come into our life. And yes, if I may say, these old bodies are fallible. They're failing. And every one of our bodies is going to fail us, folks.
Yes.
Mine's failing. I can see it coming. But as Brother Samson said, I see that coming down the road. It's coming. Coming hard and fast, and it's going to do it. Lord, make steel in my spirit. Lord, give me a renewed idea. Yes, the old body might fail, but the inward man renewed it day by day. The outward man perished. Outward man, yeah, he's going to perish, but the inward man renewed day by day. And so the incidents and the things that come, and you may say, and we hear about it all the time, let's say sometimes, thank God. I do thank the Lord. I'm almost going on 63 years old. I still can run 2 miles. I still do push. I still am very active. And people, not everybody gets to do that. But I'm going to tell you, mine's going to give up too. They're all just a time that they're going to do it. And sometimes we'll hear about those that go through the hard things and all of a sudden somebody's got this or somebody's got that. And we'll do the same thing. Oh, but what's the word of God in it? I'll tell you where he's in it. I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Yes.
I want to make some steel in you. I want to make you to be solid people. People that can stand up for something. And people that... I'm going to tell you, some of these very serious things will wipe away the childhood play. It'll wipe away the insincerities. Is that the right word? Or I'll say it my way. Not sincere.
Yes.
Bring some sincerity to the way you do things. Mm-hmm. Bring some seriousness about life to you that you ain't had before. And all of a sudden when you look and you see and you realize that these things are happening, God did this to every disciple.
Yes.
You know that? Look at the life of the disciples.
Right.
Was they a king crowned?
No.
Did they have authority to just go around and do it? No.
They
went through heartaches and trials. Look at all the patriarchs and all that they went through. They were built. They were made. Do you know Abraham was the father of faith? How did he get there? Was he perfect, man? Was he perfect? I think, if I ain't mistaken, he told a lie about no lie about this and that. He had his little things, and yet God gave him experiences. You know, it's said. This is I like these kind of things and analogies. They say that Isaac represented Christ in the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac, that he represented the only begotten son. Of course, we see the analogy to that. If that's true, it's the only place anywhere that somebody actually got to represent God. Abraham got to represent God Almighty. To think that God's relationship with him was to the point that he actually said, I'm going to allow you to feel. This is what I'm talking about. You can't enlarge without it. I'm going to allow you to feel what God was going to feel when his son sacrificed.
Yes.
Abraham got to feel God in the most intimate way. That was God reaching his love to Abraham and showing Abraham. I remember one time in a course of my life where I was praying I wanted to be more like the Lord, not realizing what I was saying. Lord, I want to be more like you. And you know the Lord allowed me to have trouble with my neighbors to the point that I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand why they're doing this. I've helped them every time that they wanted to help. Well, my only intention was to do good. And the Lord said, me too. You wanted to be more like me? You've just got to experience my life on earth. And I all of a sudden come to the realization that God allowed me to feel what it was like for the Lord to be rejected. And all his heart was to do right, and he was rejected of that. I know my thoughts towards you. You want to know what it's like to be me and feel me? This is what I went through, and you'll have to go through it too, to be enlarged. I felt after that was done, I felt like I was enlarged. I knew more, not just by the hearing of the words. I knew more but from my heart what the Lord did and what he had to go through. Because the Lord allowed me to be enlarged. This passage says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. In my distress and in our moments that we step back from. And I think there's a certain thing that we will. I don't think it's ungodly to wince from pain. But what we do with God's events in our lives will either make us steel and give us faith and more faith, or it will take us back the other way to where we'll be more rejecting of what God does. So Lord, help us today to accept what the Lord has for us in his life. And he'll bless us, I'm sure. Pray for me.